Okay, so I am. I don't feel comfortable standing behind the pulpit. Aaron, would you care to? My Aaron, he's my helper. He's my pride and joy. I appreciate, and I know I'm saying this, but I want to say it to his face because I say it behind his back. But good stuff, though, Aaron, good stuff, is that he could be so many other places, but he, as any of us could, but he still chooses to come to church and support his mama and daddy. And so I appreciate that of him. Yeah, we do too, don't we? I told him, I said, there are so many times that I've threatened him that if he ever moves off, or, you know, if or when he moves off, that I'm going to probably pack my bags and follow him. And he teased a few years back, now, Mom, don't make me get a restraining order. But I'll be the kind that I would camp outside, you know, because I can retire this year. So I'm just saying, I can travel. Follow son, we'll travel. He's like, okay, move on, Mom. But I appreciate, first of all, you understanding Greg's desire to help with his friends down there. And he appreciates it very much that you all are understanding of that. And just pray, we know that they'll have to get somebody to fill in for a while, and unless God just absolutely moves. Dale is in ICU, but yesterday, the first day that it happened, he couldn't speak or anything like that, of course, and they were able to take him from Clay City to Winchester, and they gave him the blood, the shot that they give you when you have a stroke. And so they did see the clot, and then when they got him to UK, they said, you know, settle in, it's going to be a long surgery, and, you know, how they redo to see where it is exactly, they couldn't find it. And that reminded me of Mom with her aneurysm. You know, Becky and I had taken a day off. We were going down there and sitting with her, going to have surgery. And they retook the scan to see where it was exactly, and it was gone. So I was talking to Mike. I still have those films, you know, the things of prior and post. So God can do it. Amen. So God has been speaking with me, and like I said, I'm not bringing a message per se that way, because I felt more comfortable down here in a teaching role. So, and I'm closer to you. I won't fall off if I should come get you. But God has been talking to me the last little bit on restoration. And when Greg, he goes, would you care to cover? And I'm like, no, I'll cover. It's all good. Last minute, you know. And I said, well, God's been dealing with me on restoration. And he said, well, that'll be good. And I said, okay. So this is where we're at this morning. So restoration. And I don't want it to be status quo. I don't want this service to be, and I told Greg, I said, please trust me. I'm not going to bring out the clowns or the dancers or the whatever. But I want it to be a little bit different this morning. And he said, well, you feel, you know, however you feel led. So going to be a little different, not maybe wild and crazy different, but just a little different than what we've been doing, just because I feel led this way. But restoration. So I know that we are streaming, I think. Are we streaming here? Okay, good deal. But I want you to feel free still to interact, okay? And if you say something, I'll repeat it. That way our folks will know what you have said, okay? So I want us to be interactive this morning, because I'm going to ask for lots of interaction here in a little bit, okay? So whatever you're comfortable with. So when I say restore, I want you to think about what restoration is. If I'm restoring something, okay? Restore. So let's go ahead and pray first. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the folks that are here, God. We ask you would touch those that are not able to be here for whatever reason, God. And we ask you would bless them. And God, we ask that you would just bless this lesson this morning, God, that you would allow me to get out of it and to bring it forth as the way I feel it, Lord God, and the way you put it on my heart. And God, we ask for change. We ask for restoration. We ask for change of heart, God, and a change in our lives, and God, that we would be moved in uh, to to restore and to accept restoration. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Okay, so if I say I'm restoring something, any of you all ever watch HGTV and they restore old houses? What are they doing? Making it better than it is right at that point, right? So they're trying to bring it back to what? Bring it back to life. Bring it back to what it?
New life.
Yeah, what it used to be kind of thing, right? Give it another reason for not being torn down, right? So we all like to see older buildings restored, right? So that preserves the integrity of the building, preserves the history of the building, preserves all that, right? But what I want us to talk about this morning is restoration, and not necessarily among people or among relationships right now. That comes with it. That's something I want to talk about later, maybe. But what I want us to think about right now is God needs to restore us.
Yes.
He needs to restore us.
Yes.
Or maybe I'm the only one that needs restoration. I'm going to read lots of scriptures this morning, and so I didn't even give it to Aaron because there's going to be so many of them. And if you want them later on, you can. I'll write them down for you or give you this. But I want us to look at, like I said, I'm not going to give us lots of scriptures because I can't say much more than what the Bible says. I mean, it's just very out there. 1 Peter 5:10, and the grace, God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. So Christians have been promised that there is going to be an end to all this craziness. Okay, yes, amen. And so I love it when they get involved in church, him and I sort of say Caden as Zayden. There's all these Aidens around me. I love it when they get going and worshiping the Lord. Amen. Suffering is going to happen. Suffering is going to take place. You know, we talked about it even in our Sunday school class this morning, that there are times when we were talking about wisdom, and there are times when we are faced with situations that our flesh just takes over. I even asked the question, I said, how many of you have run into somebody that you just want to smack? And they all looked around, and I'm like, if we're honest, right? So then between that time of I want to smack them to do I or do I not, there's that time period of maybe a split second that we have to make choices. Do I smack them or do I not smack them, right? And all that to say, there's going to be issues in our life that we're faced with. There's suffering. It's not fair, it seems like. Life isn't fair sometimes, it seems like. There are suffering. Why do good Christians get cancer? Why do good Christians have strokes? Why do good Christians get killed in car wrecks? Why drunks? Why do good Christians die? Right? Why do good Christians have issues, divorces, people going out on you, people talking bad about you, people stabbing you in the back? Why does that happen? That's life. And God said there's going to be suffering in this life, right? But it will end. If nothing else, know that it will come to an end at some point. And not only that, but believers will be restored from all the harm that has been done to us. Right, so I want you to keep that as hope in your life. Because it does say, after you have suffered a little while, he himself will restore you and make you strong. Hosea 6:1, come let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. This is talking about some of the prophecies about the prophet Hosea. And talks about that, you know, no one is beyond having issues. No one is beyond that. But also no one is beyond the offer of forgiveness. right? So no one sits outside God's offer of forgiveness. Yes, all of this may have happened to us. Yes, all of this may have turned us inside out. Yes, all of this has been allowed to happen in our life. But let us go back to the Lord, because why? He will heal us. He, you know, we may have been injured, but he will bind up our wounds. Isn't that like a good God? He knows this is happening to us. He's not just sitting by and laughing at us, right? He knows there's a plan and a purpose. Isaiah 40 and 31, but those who hope in the Lord, this is a different version, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This promises a supernaturally renewed strength. I wanted to get that from this version I was reading. A strength that would compare to us mounting up as an eagle or running without fatigue. Now, I don't know about you, but I never ran track too well. Mike ran track. I ran track when I was in elementary school. but that's all I did. So how many runners do I have in here? Or former runners do I have in here? Anybody like to run? Okay, football people, do you like to run those? Aaron loved in baseball to run the post. he's like, no. They just run you from pole to pole to pole to pole. And what are those called? In gym, the run to the one line suicides or something like that. I hate that term, but that's what they're called. And then all the running that you have to do in all these sports. What the heck? Why are we running in sports? Well, you're having to get conditioned, right? So, but anyway, imagine doing all that, right? Running a 5K and all that lovely stuff. But you're running without fatigue. So think about not getting tired, okay? Not getting tired. So let's think about that as it applies to spiritual life. We're in this life. We're always running. We're always doing whatever. And for us to be able to go without fatigue. Now, we will have times of fatigue. We will have times of getting tired. We will have times of that. But what does it say here? But if we have hope in the Lord, he's going to what? Renew, restore our strength, right? It doesn't mean that we're always going to be running 10-4-7, you know, 30,000 miles an hour and never, ever get tired. But he's saying when you do, I will renew you, right? Because you're going to be able to run then and not grow weary and walk and not faint. So it helps to, the Israelites were given this promise because they were worn out from their hardships. So have you ever just gotten tired of life? It just seems like one thing after the other comes and hits you. Do you ever know those folks that seems like they can never catch a break? It's always something going on, always something. You turn around, this one's sick. You go next week, that one's sick. Something else, your car breaks down. Next week, it's this. Next week, it's that. And you're like, God, can I ever catch a break? Life is going to happen like that, and it's going to bear and wear us down. But just like the Israelites were promised this, we are too. That, you know, they thought that maybe God didn't care about them or didn't want to help them. But Isaiah, in some of his verses, talks about faint and weary several times in these verses. But then it goes on to say, you know, they were just weak in body. They were weak in spirit. That's where I wanted to go. So how could they endure this? And Isaiah said this several times. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or grow weary. That's Isaiah 40 and 28. This is a good word for the weary. You may grow faint, but God doesn't. Amen. God is an endless source of strength, and he gives it generously. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases his strength. That's Isaiah 40 and 29. This is who God is. He's an ever-loving, ever-giving, ever-gracious God. Isaiah 61 and 7. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. This is still talking about the nation of Israel going through lots of bad times. They disobey God. They worship foreign gods. All of this happening on. But this reminds us that, yes, God got angry, but his anger is just for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. God wanted to restore Israel back to where they had been and where they rightfully belonged. And God wants to do that for us as well. When we go through shame and reproach, that's not the end of our story. Okay? So think about your life. Some of you are older than others and maybe face more things than others. And some of you are younger, may have faced some things that older folks haven't faced. Can we say that there are some things maybe we have gone through that has brought shame or reproach, or we felt that way? Well, I have good news for you. That's not the end of the story. God has a restoration for you, and he restores everything in double measures. I like that. He will fill us with everlasting joy. And to be honest with you, this has really been on my mind because I feel like this has been my prayer. God, restore my joy. Restore my zeal. Restore my unction. Restore my want to. Restore, because I know it has been beaten down. Jeremiah 30:17, Jeremiah, good job. I didn't know you wrote this Bible. That's good. But I will restore to you health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. That is, God is going to bring us into a comfortable and prosperous condition. Not talking about just money, right? Now, I think God will give us, Willa, do you care if I share? Okay, so at prayer meeting yesterday, we were just talking about various things and talking about how God will supply and such. And she had a dream that she had a banana, and it was real funny, that she peeled the banana, and under the circumstance and the context, it would make more sense, but I'm not going to share all that. But she peeled the banana, and in the banana, money was stuck in there. And Greg was here yesterday. He was like, let's go buy some bananas, you know. But all that to say, just in the natural, God will take care of us, and he will supply what we need, even if he has to stick it in bananas or manna from heaven, right? Whatever. But anyway, so God will restore to you your health and heal your wounds. And not just physical wounds. Those heal pretty easily. What about those spiritual wounds? Those wounds unintentionally or intentionally made by other people who you thought were your buddies, your friends. They hurt you bad. And like I said, it could be intentional. It could not be intentional, but it still hurts, right? So what do? We pray to God, and he does restore, and he does heal that so we can move on. Amen. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He offers rest for your soul. How many of you sometimes have even said this, maybe out loud, I'm just soul weary. Not so weary, but soul weary. My soul just is tired. Just tired. Well, Jesus experienced that too. Amen. He experienced that. And like Greg preached that one time, what did he say? How did he combat it? It is written. It is written. It is written. When he came out of the wilderness and he was tired, he was from the prayer and all that good stuff. I'm sorry. And the enemy was trying to beat him down and say, well, I know you're tired. I know you're weary. So let's do this, and I'll take care of it and all that good stuff. I'll give you this. Of course, you know, it was all God's anyway. And, you know, he said, no, it is written. So come to me, all who are who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He offers rest for your souls. And if you're weary, you take his yoke. He said his burden is easy and light. I appreciate that. 51:12 of Psalms, restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So when I was looking up this scripture, some of the commentaries were talking about, this is referring back to, take me back to what I felt when I first got saved. Do you remember that? Do you remember how zealous you were, how much you... Now, and I know some of us, if we're older, it may have been when we were younger, and so our bodies were feeling a little bit better by then too, or back then. But think about your soul and your spirit. How did you feel? You were excited. You wanted to tell people. The sky was bluer. The rain was sweeter. The snow was whiter. I mean, everything was just whatever. And what has happened to us that now that we're like, You know, if we hear about somebody getting saved or somebody getting healed, like, yay, Jesus. Why aren't we, what happened? We just taking it for granted? Is life beating us down? I know. It's crazy. So what's going on with us? What has happened? What has eaten away at our joy? Our work can do it sometimes. If we see nothing but negative junk all day long, dealing with negative people, negative things, we know that. If we're sick, we don't feel it. Our body doesn't feel well. I understand that. So what can we do? How can we get that restoration? Well, like we talked about this morning, for wisdom, we pray. I know that sounds very simple, but how else do we get anything except we pray and talk to God about it? Amen. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Is this anybody else or is this just me? Okay. Zechariah 9 and 12. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. We are prisoners of hope, which means that no matter how bad things get in this life, we have hope that things will get better. Who is our hope? Jesus, right? It's all on him. In the same way, no matter how good things get in this life, we also cling to the hope that things will get better. We cling to the hope that God will restore us. And it's not, again, about restoration of money. I mean, you know, if we lost anything like that or what. But if it's needed, if it's something that he thinks that we need, yeah. But think of all the stuff, all the lost sleep, all the anxiety, all of the living life to the fullest as far as enjoyment. Think of all that stuff that has been stolen from us due to worry, due to stress, due to the enemy's fighting. And God says, I will restore that to you. Think about that. Have you ever had anything at your house that you've redone? Maybe an old chair. There's this old chair that was Dad's. I guess it was his teaching chair back in the day. And I've tried to get the 5 million layers of paint off of it. And now it just kind of looks sad. But I haven't worked on it for a while. But I was trying to restore it, right? And so it meant me taking off all the gunk, right? And making it pretty again, bringing it out, bringing the beauty back out. And so that's when I think about restoration, that's what I think about God doing to us. Getting all the gunk off of us. Getting all the gunk out of our spirit, getting all the gunk out of our, what's the inside of, not cycles. I'm thinking about the little things that turn. Help me out. Gears, thank you. Woo! All the little gears in our brains and our minds and our spirit. You know, sometimes you see the gunk that builds up on those, and they don't move just like they should, or they get stuck. And I think of God going in there and cleaning all that nasty out. Psalm 71, 20 and 21. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. Is that not a good prayer? You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. If nothing else, right there. God, I've seen troubles. You will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up. Don't forsake me when my strength fails. This chapter recounts how God has been a rock for David. He writes for his gratitude, of his gratitude, all the stuff that God has done for him over the years. And guess what? He'll do it again. Amen. So I want to sing this here real quick. And then what I want us to do after this, I want to sing this song. And then it's 11:52. I've asked Aaron to play us some music. And I want you to, while I'm singing this song and listening to these words, I want you to think about what it is you need God to restore in your life. And I want us to spend some time with him. If you're not here on our Saturday morning women's ministries, a lot of times what we do is we'll share and then we pray. And then after we have prayed, we're still in meditation and we sit and we listen and we reflect and we concentrate on God and we just kind of soak him in. And that's what I want us to do this morning. We have plenty of time. It's nasty, rainy. You know, it's going to be icky outside. All that's good for us taking a nap later. So what I want us to do is after I sing this, I want us to come forward and I want us to spend some time with him in reflection, okay? I'm just going to sing this chorus. If you know it, sing along with me. He'll do it again. Oh, yes. He'll do it again. If you just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. You may feel down and feel like God has somehow forgotten that you are faced with circumstances you can't get through. And right now it seems that there's no way out and you're going under. But God's proven time and time again, he'll take care of you and he'll do it again. Oh, yes, he'll do it again. If you just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. God knows the things you're going through. He knows how you're hurting. He understands just how your heart has been broken in two. He's the God of the sun, the stars, and the sea, and he is your father. He'll calm the storm and he'll find a way to fix this for you. And he'll do it again. Oh, yes, he'll do it again. If you just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, hasn't he always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. How many believes that? Amen. God, we thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for the promise of restoration. God, we thank you that you said you never change. And God, if you did it back then, you can do it now as well. God, if you did it for someone else, you can do it for us. God, and we ask for restoration in this place. God, we ask that you would restore our soul, restore our joy in you and the salvation. God, we ask that you would just restore our zeal for you, God. Restore, God. Restore. We ask for restoration in our spirits, in our souls, in our minds, in our bodies this morning, Lord God, as we spend some time with you, God. We know you have promised, God, that you will do it again, and we are holding you to that promise, God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. And Aaron, as you play that music, guys and gals, if you will just spend some time, come and sit on the altar, sit in the chairs, lay in the altars, I don't care. Let's spend some quality time with God this morning. Ask him to restore. Ask him to restore your body and your soul and your spirit and your mind, Lord God. Yes, hallelujah. Let's spend some time with him this morning.